proclaiming in his name. Hallelujah, my family is sealed. Yes, praise his name. The battle is over. The victory is won. My family is sealed. Oh, it's already done. Oh, hallelujah, it's already done. So praise his name. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. Oh, yes, and I'm already healed. Oh, hallelujah, I'm already healed. I'm a praising his name. The battle is over. The victory is won. 'Cause I'm already mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. For I should have fallen, my soul all stand as Brother Donnie comes for responsive reading. Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. Are you thankful for that this morning? Oh, I should have fallen. So cast down, but his mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, it's God's mercy.
Let's pray to you this morning.
Oh, yes, your mercy.
Here this morning. Before we get started, we'll just go to the Lord. We're going to be in Psalms 32 this morning. Bow your heads. Hope everybody's staying warm in this little cold snap we're having. It's been a good thing for the bugs, though. It's gotten rid of them. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we'll go to the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come and gather around your word one more time, Lord. What a precious thing it is. And Father, let me just say this day. For me and my house, I want to study more. I want to listen more. Be more in tune with your word, Father, than I ever have been before. Because the end result of this, we must have the mind of Christ that can communicate with our souls as you would have us through our word, Lord, that you've given us. We ask you now, Father, to touch and bless those that couldn't make it through the door today. Whatever their hindrances, Lord, bless them and be with them. All the ones been sick and afflicted. We also thank you for Brother Boyd's healing and all the other ones there, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord God, and give them your faith that they can grow stronger in you, Father. You can have your way with us, Lord. When we get everything out of the way that we're supposed to get out of the way, then you can do what you do with us and revealing your word to us, Lord. We ask now, Father, that those that couldn't make it today, again, be with them and bless our children that's out in the world, Father, especially the ones that's out in that desert wandering around, Lord. I fear not, Lord, because your word says that we'd be there with our offspring. So I'm seeing them here, Lord. And I'm believing your word and calling on your word, Lord. Because I know we couldn't bring them in, but it'll take you to bring them in just like it took you to bring us in, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. Let us be more attentive today. And I ask you today especially, be with Brother Wade and bless him, Lord, as he brings your word to us, Father. Let him just get out of the way and you just come down and take over that body and let him heal that body that he can speak the words that you placed on his heart. Across those lips, you made a clay to us, Father. We ask you now, Lord, to be with us and bless us in this season. Keep us all safe. And, Father, I do, with the bottom of my heart, as your word says, pray for all our leaders that are in our governments, Lord. Whatever position they hold, Father, you've put them there. Your word says I put kings in and I take them out. And, Lord, we believe your word. And so let us pray and be with them, Lord. Just bless them and all the decisions they have to make and life decisions, Father, that thy will be done. Now, as we go to your word, Father, you just come in and fill our hearts with peace and joy. Forgive us of our sins. And most of all, Father, thank you for Calvary. We ask these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So go to Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old, and my roaring all the day long.
For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of the summer. Selah.
I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I've said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Amen. And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes.
Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee.
Many sorrows shall be the way, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about.
Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Thank you for the reading of the word. You may be seated. Lord bless you.
For the reading of the word. You know, he says his word is spirit and is life. And you take it in your heart and just hold it, a promise. He'll come and just make it manifest. I'm a testimony of that. So good to see little Zach, but it's just Brother Zach now. And his wife Lily, we're thankful for them to come visit. So I'm going to use you this morning, Zach, like we used to. Would you come up here and take up the offering for us? Amen. Yes, Father. Let's sing that song. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. This offering is the mission offering for this morning. So this is going to the vision book. So this is the main offering that we have for the mission books the first Sunday of the month. Amen. Can we sing that song? When I think about the Lord. Yeah.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord and how he picked me up and turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. And when I think about the Lord, oh, how he saved me and how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. So when I think about the Lord and how he picked me up and turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all of the glory and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all of the glory and all of the praise. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I bow down before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, you lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, just tell him how much you're thankful for him. And Heavenly Father, oh, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Love you, adore you, I bow down before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
have a couple of specials this morning. We're going to ask Brother Zach, Sister Lily, if they'd like to make their way up here. Amen.
Got a lot to be thankful for. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I give you all of me, I give you all of me, I give you all of me, I give you all of me.
King Jesus, my Savior forever, I give you all of me,
I give you all of me. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice, and all my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands, and I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Such a key in that moment in every Christian life where you just surrender, you know. And it's a journey to keep surrendering. And Brother Dale preached on Christ the Mystery of God years ago. Felt inspired to put that quote in the back, and I encourage people to read it sometime. It talks about the preeminence of God in your life and the very purpose of why he brought us this message. To that he may become the fullness in our lives. And it's all in surrender and laying yourself on the altar daily. Amen. Brother Michael, you have a song for us this morning? Amen.
storm clouds ever darken the sky. And they say we'll be happy in heaven, in that wonderful sweet by and by. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven, by the side of separation comes no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Let's all stand. Sing that song, Word of God Ever True, as our brother come. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and how beyond the curtain of time, there's things that God has prepared for us that we haven't even thought about yet. And sometimes we think, well, what are all these saints doing for the past 6,000 years, 2,000 years? They're occupied just like we are here. Maybe we don't know the details. But you know, to be in Him, that's what connects you to them. That is our main power source, is the Holy Ghost in Christ. And if you're not in that, then you're not going to be there. And that's an assurance. That's such a wonderful thing to know that we have His Word as a promise that if we're in Him, we'll be together forever. And that's the hope that we have. That's the faith that we carry. Amen. Oh, holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the Word of God impart words of life and words of hope, gives us strength. Let's go.
That's the only thing that'll change us. Like Brother Bob says, our mom or dad or even your pastor can't change you. It has to come from an individual affair with God. You meet Him, you don't have to worry about the rest. You just yield yourself to God and that He may have the preeminence in our life. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back in the sanctuary. And we've got a full month coming up. This is December the 1st. And remember the ones that are not here. Brother Ryan's in Kentucky. And Brother Luis is Brother Stan Price's. We had a wonderful time at Brother Martin's on Friday night. We really had a good time. Thank you, some of you, for coming. And we really had a good time there. So, also, good to have Brother Zach and Sister Lily with us. Good to have the Collinses back. Amen. Always good to have them back. Man, thank God for safe travel. Sister Janet sent me a message a few minutes ago. Said, remember Brother Boyd, he's having rough nights, but good days. He's having some choking spells, so let's just keep him in our prayer. He's doing really good, and he's just on demands. I mean, you just got to let your body take time. Let your body catch back up to what it used to be before. That was a very traumatic experience for our brother, and we sure want to enter in with him and keep him in prayer. Remember, there's communion foot washing be this afternoon. The funeral for Sister Johnny will be on Thursday, and there's your information. There are some sheets that are run off in the back sitting on the prayer request shelf that has this on it. Visitation's from 4 to 7 Wednesday. Funeral is Thursday, starting at 11 o'clock. And I'll be doing the eulogy. We need to talk about some musicians going with us, and because they have no musicians, and some songs. They've got a few songs they want to sing. We want to sing "What a Mighty God We Serve" when we get ready to leave that place. Amen. Because that was her theme the whole life. It's "What a Mighty God We Serve." And now she's entering into that place of perfect rest. She's there with Brother Dale, Sister Collie, all the different ones. She's there with them now, and probably a little bit louder place now than it was. Her daughter and I were talking yesterday and said, "Mama always had an opinion." I said, "Yeah, and she made sure you knew it too." But we sure do appreciate Sister Johnny and all the years that she spent here in service for the Lord. And we want to honor her with the funeral there on Thursday at 11 o'clock at the George Levitt Senior Funeral Home. You can get it's in Conyers. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from here. But just remember that. This coming Wednesday, Brother Landland will be here. Also, Brother Vernon, but Brother Landland will be speaking for us this coming Wednesday night. Brother Vernon's coming, Brother Stan Price, another brother, bringing Brother Vernon up, and then they're going back home. This coming weekend will be our Christmas dinner. Brother Vernon will be here speaking for us next Sunday. After the dinner, we'll go to Hidden Acres and have our catered dinner there. Oh, also, I talked to Twana is Sister Johnny's daughter's name. She wants to, instead of the church buying food and us carrying it and hauling it down there, we're just going to all go to Golden Corral afterwards. There's one not too far from the funeral home, and she wants to feed who comes. And I told her we would sure help her with the cost of the meals there at Golden Corral. And that gives you where you don't have to go down there and take a bunch of food and bring a bunch of food back and make a bunch of food. I think that's a good idea for down there, especially on Thursday during the middle of the day. It's hard for people to get off. And we understand that you can't get off if you can't go. Just pray for the family because she'll be missed very much. And also remember one more thing before we get into the Word. December the 15th, Brother Luis and I and Sister Christine are leaving for Honduras. Just keep us in prayer there for that time that we're going to have. Hadn't been out of the country in a while, so maybe they'll let me back in. So all minds clear. We're going to speak today. We're going to continue with the opening of the book We're still on our transition to perfection, part 10. But this is the second phase of opening of the book on this Wednesday. We'll review a little bit more and then bring a few more things out. So God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, today is a day we so look for, Lord, to come and worship with your people. To come and be with the ones, Lord, of light, precious faith. Father, we go through this world rubbing shoulders with people of the world and people that are not so happy and people that have things in their life, Lord, that they just having a lot of trouble. But Lord, today we set aside a day. We put all those troubles behind us. Lord, we put all those demons out the door. And we're sitting, Lord, in anticipation to hear from you. Father, I pray that everyone came in anticipation to hear from you, Father. And I pray that you'd be with each one, Lord, that's not here. The ones that are traveling, different ones, Lord, being the Thanksgiving weekend. And I pray that you'd be with them, Father. Bless the ones that are sick. Brother Boyd, different ones, Lord. We pray that you'd just touch his body, Father, and give him strength to get back to church and get back to worshiping with his family. Father, just forgive us of our sins and many mistakes that we make, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone said, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. It's all in the way you look at it. I'm possible. Same words. Didn't have to add nothing but just a couple of points. Malachi 4. Well, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day is approaching, my brothers and sisters, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, you got to know who he is, and you got to have the right kind of fear. We don't fear God as people fear God. We fear God reverencing him. All right, we reverence what he's done. We reverence that he came and died for us and that he came back on the day of Pentecost, came inside your soul, and now he's living. That's the fear of God. And that's the beginning of wisdom is what the Bible says. So we don't fear God like that. We fear God with reverence. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto you in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. One more, Revelation 10:7, you be seated. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Every prophet in the book, you can see that. Every prophet in the book spoke of and saw a part of this day that you're sitting in right now. Amen. They would have probably give their life to be here to see this thing culminate because it was God speaking through them. And they wanted to see their words come to pass. Amen? I want to see God's words come to pass. God wants to see God's words come to pass. So let's read Revelation 18, and we'll make a little comment here for a minute. That I want you to see something, and we'll look at the two parts of Brother Branham's ministry. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now we know that redemption is in two parts. Everybody with me? Redemption is in two parts. It's coming out of and going into. So when it says, come out of her, my people, it didn't say just come out. Okay? Don't be partakers of her sins. In other words, separate yourself. Go somewhere else. Amen? Right. K- So it's two parts come out of. So now Brother Bram tells us here in the paradox. He's talking about the book of Joshua. It's a book of redemption. Of the Old Testament, Joshua, we would have considered that to be the book of redemption because this redemption has two parts. Redemption anywhere has two parts that it's out of and into. It takes two parts to make redemption, out of and into. So when the angel said, come out of her, my people, there is a place that that angel has for you to go. There's a place for you to go. Not just come out of. Well, I'm out of that. I'm out of that. Well, you got to go into something. The reason he brought you out of something is to put you in something. Amen? And if you come out of that to go into something, it must be a lot better than to come out of. Because remember what happened with Moses. Brother Branham will tell us here that Moses represented the law which brought them out of Egypt. Now, let me tell you something. If you're sitting here today without the new birth, and you're under this message of the hour, it's law to you. Amen. It's do's and don'ts. It's a law. It's Moses' law. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Amen. Come on. Amen. Say amen a little louder. But Moses represented the law which brought them out of Egypt. But what did it bring them out? To just run them around in the desert? Yeah, sure, for 40 years. But it was their fault that they stayed there. It's mine and your fault that we've been here 60 years since the prophets left. That we're still walking around and around Horeb trying to figure out where we're going. It's time to do as the Bible says, stop and let's go forward. Go northward to get out of here. So Moses represented the law which brought him out of Egypt. So Joshua represented grace. Now remember what I said about the, why does God send a messenger? He sends a messenger. When that messenger comes on the earth, he has two things. He starts a war. He's grace to the people, but starts a spiritual war. And what does that spiritual war do? It's two opposing forces fighting each other. Everybody with me? All right? And we're going to see that when the seals opened, it showed those two forces, but it showed them not out there somewhere, but right here. Okay? So now look, Joshua represented grace that took them into the promised land. Another way was the law and grace were two different aspects of God's command. So he didn't do away with the law. The Bible says the law was honorable. It was a way for us to, and listen, when you become born again, when you're first, even in justification, you do become a lawyer, kind of, you know, you're kind of under the law, you're looking at the other person, you're going, they do that, and I don't do that no more, and I see, it's do, I do, and you don't, and you do, and I don't. But when you get born again, you see that that person is going through the same thing you went through, you just couldn't see you going through it. Hello, somebody. Then it becomes grace, and you say, let's have some patience with that person. Right. Let's have a little bit of grace for that person because God had grace for me and you. We forget where we come from sometimes. Right. Amen. Amen? Now, the law brought them out, and Joshua took them in. All right? Law brought them out. Joshua took them in. What brought, when Brother Branham had stood there and he told him, he said, come out of her, my people. He's talking to the denominations and those that had creeds. We'll look at it in just a minute. He says, you need to come out of that and into this promised word for the day. All right? Right? It also represents something for our day. Now watch. Now it represents as they were in the journey coming from Egypt into a promised land. In other words, coming from the world. So have we come out of the world of Egypt, chaos, on our road to a promised land in my Father's house of many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, John 14, coming out of and into. Now watch, it's law that brings us to the recognition we're wrong. So you have to have the law. You can't have law without judgment. You can't have judgment without law. All right? But remember, if you're not born again, the judgment is still upon you. You're still under the law. But when you become born again, you come out from under the law and you come into grace. Right. It's law that brings us to recognize we're wrong. but it's grace that forgives us. Listen, the law will never forgive you. But grace will forgive you every time. The law has no hope of redemption. Because to complete it, and to complete it, it has no grace in it, because law only points that you are a sinner. But grace tells you how to get out of it. Law is the policeman that puts you in jail, but redemption is the one who came and paid your fine out of and into or into grace. All right, everybody with me? So we see that there's two things, even with Brother Branham's message. And you can look at it this way, because he was preaching to the people to come out of that Pentecostal move. Because God was coming out of that Pentecostal move. Come out of that Pentecostal move, and they never heard this before about dress and hair and you know, God sent a prophet, and this is what you need to do, and this is what you don't need to interrupt the service by standing up and speaking in tongues. There's an order that you go by. Right? Remember like I said Wednesday night, that Elijah message came to restore. Well, restore means there was something wrong with it to begin with. When you restore an old car, Brother Donnie, it don't look like it was right off the showroom floor. It will afterwards. Right? It will afterwards. You had to do some work on it. Same way with you and I. You had to do some work on it. We were in the pawn shop. God got us out of the pawn shop. So the law points at your sinner, but grace tells you how to get out of it. Now remember, grace doesn't tell you how to get out of it like he's saying, well, I'm going to. Grace is not greasy. Has no grease in it at all. But there is grace for every one of us sitting in this room, or we couldn't get born again. There had to be grace in place, as Brother Dale preached a long time ago. Remember, what come first? Law or grace? Grace had to come first. Grace had to be there before even Adam said, I'll take her sin upon her, and I'll not, don't destroy her. I'll take her sin. I'll do what she's doing, and God can't destroy that, because you already saw before the foundation of the world that he was slain as a lamb. And there was the sacrifice. There was the bloody lamb that was waiting on Adam to get here. God knew it would happen. So he already put the provisions in. There's nothing we can go through. I was talking to somebody the other day. Only blaspheme of the Holy Ghost is the only reason you can't get in heaven. You say, well, not sinners. Not. Well, yeah, okay, I'm telling you. But to blaspheme the Holy Ghost is the only thing they said you can't. You just can't enter in. You can't go. Because you blaspheme the Holy Ghost himself, and you've what? Said that, discredited it, and said that wasn't what it was. Because that's what Caiaphas and them did. They discredited God. They discredited the word and said, that's not it. We're either waiting on it or we got it now. Right? So that's what condemned them, as the word came himself, walked in the house in front, or the temple with them, and there was the word of God, and they turned him down. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Right? So there was no grace for them, and you can see there was no grace for them. Listen, Caiaphas never repented on record of what he did to Jesus. He was happy to get rid of that guy. Wow, that was a devil. Happy to get rid. They thought they did, but they did not get rid of him. We know that. So, Brother Branham, as we sit here today, we come under two sides of the message that we were talking about the other day, and we'll look at it in just a minute. Brother Branham said this messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. All right? One, bring them out. All right? And into, sure, a promised land. But remember, when Joshua got them in the promised land, they didn't just willy-nilly all over the place, and everybody lived over here, and this one lived over there, and that one did whatever they wanted to do. No, Joshua stood right there and said, you go over here, you go over here, you go over here. Because of your name, you're going to be associated with a piece of land that God give you, right? So there's a placing coming out of and into, all right? So we've come out of denominational ideas, I hope, and we're into this promised land, But we're not just crossed over Jordan and we're just standing there wondering where to go. No, the second part of Brother Ram's message is what came to tell us how to get there. What to do and how to get there. Everybody with me? Now, we've been talking about that. The messenger of Malachi 4 do two things. One, right? Then the second thing. Why do you have the second thing? Because there is a placing there. Listen, you can come today and you can come to the new birth and you cannot grow up that statue of perfect man if you don't want to. Come on. But you got to want to. Remember, I'll read you a quote just a minute. I read it many times before. God can only work with what you give him. The Holy Ghost can only work with what words you give him. The prophet of God said one time, he said, the Holy Ghost is waiting. Now, this you had to hear this from a prophet, that the Holy Ghost is waiting on you to bring him the word. Well, I thought the Holy Ghost was the word, but you're tied to it. You're the connection. You and I are the connection. Listen, the word of God is not going to stand at the day of judgment. People are going to stand at the day of judgment. With the word of God or without the word of God, they're going to stand there and be judged by the word of God. We're judged now. We don't do the things of the world now. We've already been judged. But then God, what does he want to do? He does not want us to just stay babies. Remember, he was going to take the babies, the children, and bring them to the faith of the fathers, which is the faith at the pyramid there where it says brotherly kindness, which meant that all those disciples, the word of God was working in their life for their time. Everybody with me? For their time, God was working with them and through them. But what happened during the church ages is somebody decided to stand up one day and say, you don't really need that knowledge. It's like Brother Bob said. Brother Bram said, get away from knowledge. He meant worldly knowledge. He meant worldly teaching. Because I've read that quote before and people say, oh, then God don't want nobody to teach. No, he ain't talking about that. He's talking about the teaching of this world. Because remember, Brother Bram tells us that teaching positionally places us in the body of Christ. That's why we love teaching. We enjoy teaching because it tells us, listen, I've said many times before, had a friend one time, he walked out of a service and he said, and the guy was kind of, you know, I guess jumping on people, I get, you know, about first one thing and another. And he said, man, he said, that just burned my hide. I said, well, you must have needed it. Because he wasn't talking about me. He might have been talking about you, but he wasn't talking about me. I said, what burns my hide is when a person can sit there and I've got a preconceived idea of the word of God and God puts a teacher right here that just tears the whole building apart that you've built up and said, that ain't right, this is right. That's what burns my hide. That's what makes me go back and want to study more. If we've come to the place that we need to be preached on because of hair and dress and this and that and the other, we're in trouble. Sure, we need that. We need that for the young people and we need that new ones that come in. But listen, folks, we're at the end time. The horsemen are here. Remember the Bible says, what do we got? You can't even keep up with the footmen. How are you going to keep up when the horses come and they run 40 miles an hour and you can run at most 20 miles an hour? They're going to run off and leave you. God help us. I don't want to get run off and left. You shouldn't want to get run off and left. We're given a open book to get us on the horse and get us out of here. It's just our problem that we just say, well, I don't know. I don't understand that. There's nothing in this Bible you can't understand. If you pray hard enough, God will explain it to you. God will never let you say, well, now, you know, you're just a dummy. You're just a dummy. You can't understand that. Now, has he ever said anybody told anybody that? If you said that, you told yourself that. God didn't tell you that. Because you see people, and you see people leave church because, well, I can't understand what Brother Dale says. I can't understand what Brother Wade says. I can't understand what Brother Bob says. So I'm just going to leave? Well, you never had anything to begin with. You can't leave the word of God and say that, I can't understand that. If you're born again, You might not understand for a moment, but God's obligated, folks. He's obligated, brothers and sisters. He's obligated to put somebody in the pulpit that'll explain your question. Now, Brother Branham said that. He said, God's obligated. Only a prophet can say that God's obligated. God's obligated to put somebody. The problem is we hear something like that, we close our ears up, and we don't go study. Or we don't get in our prayer closet and say, God, I didn't understand a word that man said today. You said you'd explain it to me. How many times have we had questions? And Brother Dale preached something, and we're like, no. No, I don't know about that. I'll raise my hand. I'll raise both of them. Some of y'all that are honest did. Some of you that are dishonest didn't. But after a while, it's like Brother Luis said. Brother Luis came here. He said, I didn't understand nothing Brother Dale said. Now, Brother Dale wasn't preaching wild doctrine. He was preaching a progressive revelation. But he said about 6 months after I stayed, he stayed. You got to stay and listen. After 6 months, it started clicking with him. You know why? God honored his perseverance. God honors his staying there under the fountain and saying, God, if I'm going to stay here, you got to tell me what them people are saying. And he's obligated to do it if you're a child of God. This message is not hard. We make it hard. We make it hard. Because God can't send something to his children and say, I know you can't understand that, but I'm going to put it in the Bible anyway. God's not that way. God will never do that. He'd be an unjust God. It's just that we don't crack that book open during the week. I'm going to preach here. We don't crack that book open during the week. And we don't study it. We don't reread the scriptures maybe I read, or Brother Bob, or Brother Aaron, or Brother Luis. You just go, well, that was good. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. So why do we keep letting it happen all the time? Because if we don't understand, God just give us somebody to help us understand. He gave us a prophet, and he gave us a fivefold ministry. That's why you're not going to get it sitting at home. You're just not going to get it sitting at home, listening to tapes. Now, you might have to sit at home and watch online. No offense to any of these people that's watching online that has a ailment or first one thing and another, or like Brother Boyd, different ones. That's great that you don't get to miss. That's wonderful. See, that's the way to use the Internet, not just use it as your crutch, to not get up and make an effort to go to church. Amen. Sermons are not made to be watched with slippers on. Right. And a cup of coffee and a blankie. Preach, brother, I believe we will. It's not. Did God ever tell us to do that? Oh, yeah, let's just be lazy. If you don't want me to come, I'm late. I think I'll just... That's why we make back seats. Amen. Better late than never. Right. So now, Brother Branham, we get to this. I want to bring this in real quick. This is on Anointed Ones at the End Time. Notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, all right, not in 47 and up to 63, those are, as he declared them, years of preparation, are years of the coming out of. Explaining to us why this message is unique. Why this message is different than the denominations. Why what we have is Bible, and what they had was an idea on the Bible. Denomination is an idea on the Bible. God can't honor Father, Son, and Holy Ghost doctrine. He can't do that. Amen. Sure, he winks at it. Let people get by with it sometime. I don't say get by, but Luther did it. Wesley did it because they didn't understand it wasn't time. When Brother Branham come, it was time. It was time for that Joshua to take. When they take him, he took him across the promised land. His work just started. It was handed off for Moses because God stood there and said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. So as I was with William Branham Bride, so I'm going to be with you. I just believe that. I don't believe that God diminished 1 second when Brother Branham went off the sea. He actually expanded himself more to this church, all the different churches around the country, around the world that are serving this message. It was because one man gave his life, his whole life, to get this message to us, to step out of the way and let God preach to us. Let God tell us what was wrong with us. So not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. So we've this transition to perfection. We got a transition from over here, Moses. Now listen, Joshua didn't preach a different message than Moses.
Amen.
Had to be that message was there.
Right.
And the messenger. Then when the messenger went off the scene, the message just transitioned into what God wanted them to do to begin with.
Right.
He wanted them in that promised land. Is that not right?
Right.
He didn't just take them out of Egypt just to fail. He didn't take you, out of your sin just to fail.
Right.
He didn't take you out of this world just to fail. He didn't bring you here today to fail.
Right.
He brought you here to prosper. He told Joshua, wherever you are, that's exactly where I'll be.
Amen.
He said, wherever the sole of your feet, Abraham, he said, that's your land.
Right.
That's why they had to go back and get in the promised land.
Right.
So that God could deal with them. But remember, they had to fight for everything they got.
Right. Yeah.
You and I are going to have to fight for everything we get.
Right.
So not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. So the first pull is healing. The second pull, prophesying, or bringing the word to a place to where we can really hear the word of God.
Right.
See the discernment. See the things that Brother Brown said that he worked in a realm that nobody had ever been in, I guess, since Jesus Christ. A realm of not knowing if he was in this realm or the next realm. All right. Then the third pull, the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. So when he started on, first pull, second pull, remember he said, these can be impersonated. Right?
Yes.
Listen, they tried to impersonate Moses.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Dathan, Korah, different ones, they wanted to split off and say, Moses, you're too much on you, buddy. We'll take some of that. They didn't want to take some of that. They wanted to take some of the people.
Right. Right.
They wanted to be popular.
Right.
Now remember, the third pull was the opening of the seal. So we'll get into that. Probably around the first of the year. We got a lot of busy stuff going on this coming month. But just hang in there. We'll get into it. So the third pull was what? Opening the seal. So what was it? To reveal the hidden truths that's been sealed in the Word. So he preaches up to 1962. He comes with the spoken word's original seed in 1962. And this is where I think, and just my opinion, more than anything, that Brother Branham saw, he thought he was finished with his message. You read spoken words, original seed. He said, Billy Graham planted a seed, or Robert planted a seed. In other words, I planted a seed.
Right.
Word of God, unadulterated.
That's right.
So what are we doing still here?
Right.
He's saying. What's going on?
Right.
Then that's when right here, this is where the Holy Ghost said, pick up your pen. So I believe the Holy Ghost wrote this to me and you.
Right.
I believe he wrote it to us directly.
Right.
So this is from God, not from Brother Branham's opinion. This is from God. God has promised, be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet has been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled. He's in 1962. He thought he was fulfilling it probably in 47, 48, up to 50 in different places. But now he gets to 1962 and the Holy Ghost gets him to write that down. And he's like, well, what's going on? He said, it's not been fulfilled. Your whole ministry has not been fulfilled yet.
What?
You've got two parts. You got to continue to read Revelation 10:7. For it was a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. And Jesus even referred to it. It's to be just for the first coming of Christ. It is for the second. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible, plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the former reign. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather, John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. So the Holy Ghost was writing all this, all right? He was writing it down, but he was looking at it when he was writing it, and he's like, wow, it's not been fulfilled. I got to do something. Remember, he goes to Arizona. God tells him, go to Arizona. So he goes to Arizona. 1962, end of 63. And he gets the message for the seals, and he says right then, he knows that's his message. Not in the years of preparation, not in the healing campaigns, not in all that, which is good and fine. But a healing campaign will just get you healed, and you could die tomorrow of another disease or even the same one. Amen? But God wants mature Christians. The only way you can have mature Christians is if you just start a baby. So you had to start somewhere. We had to start somewhere. We had to get that attention of the prayer lines had to get us to turn to say, wow, this man must be of God. But now remember, there were some people turned and looked at that. And then a little bit later when the doctrine, the mystery started coming, they said, oh, well, we can believe Brother Branham when he's under discernment, but not this. And I believe Brother Branham called them poor, pitiful people that saw this but couldn't see this. Why? Because this right here was doing what? This was healing them, making them feel good on the outside. Everybody with me? Their spirit realm was being emotionalized. Oh, it was just great power. I mean, he'd stand there and people would rise up and run out the door with cots. People just... But when he come over here and he started saying, all right, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Anointed ones at the end time. That was a real shocker. Why am I against organized religion? All those different things that he started preaching after that. And listen, they stood with that. I say they, the ones that turned him down, stood with the same pharisaical spirit that was on Caiaphas and all those people to turn Brother Branham down. They turned God down. Amen. Same spirit. Because remember, they didn't kill Brother Branham. They killed his influence. And that's what Brother Branham said. He said, you know, you kill a man, you don't have to kill him with a knife. You can kill him with kill his influence. So they said, oh, well, let's listen to this when the prayer lines happen. But now don't go over there and listen to him at Parkview High School where he's going to preach, who is this Melchizedek, marriage and divorce and all those different things. Right? That burnt their hide. See, what burnt their hide? Teaching. The teaching to bring it back correct. Listen, you can have false teaching and be healed.
Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody. You can have false teaching and be healed. You can be a prostitute and be healed. But you can't be a prostitute and stay one and get under this part of the Word of God that Brother Adam was bringing.
Amen.
So this is safety over here. But Brother Branham said, remember, that third pole will not be what? Impersonated. So the devil can't come over here. All right, come on now. He can play over here. But when you come to, you and I come into a sealed group of people that the Word of God's come to, everything's come alive, we're walking in the preeminences of God, as he said in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, it's going to take us back, and we're going to be literally changed right here. Not up there. We're going to be changed right here.
Amen.
There's going to be a healing. You already got spiritual healing when you got born again. But these bodies are literally going to be changed into young people.
Right.
Well, that ought to make you happy.
Amen.
Y'all must have stayed up last night and watched movies. If Four messengers of death killed the tree. Four messengers of life restored the tree. I know. So you take Brother Brown's first part of his message. He preached what? Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right, straight out of the Bible. Listen, Brother Branham never said a word that wasn't in the Bible. Come on. Oh, he had human words that he spoke. Yeah, sure. But did he take us to another Bible? Did he take us to another God? Did he take us to a different idea than what God wrote already in the Bible? That's what he was turning us from. Out of and into the truth. But it took, in this time, it takes four messengers to bring us back to full adoption and to bring us into the mysteries, is the Word of God being preached the way it should have been preached, like it was preached in the first church age, first two or three church ages. All right, everybody with me? So four messengers of life. He preached justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then he comes over here and he tells us in the message after the seals, he said, now there's a higher form. Invisible union or somewhere in there, he says there's a higher form of justification. We got to come from this baby form. We got to come over here to this justification. That you got to realize the real you never done to begin with.
Amen.
And really, truly believe that.
Right.
Okay? Same way with sanctification. That it comes to a place to where we become clean. Every day we die. Every day we need a cleaning. But that's not in your soul. Listen, you know what that's doing? That's letting your soul out to do the cleansing. I can't cleanse you. The Word has to cleanse you. You have to realize that this is not just a nice, good Christian life. I'm telling you, that's what I told you before. We're going to have to step it up a little bit. Out of and into.
Amen.
All right? He came out of the 47 to 63 and took us into an open book.
Amen.
Do you get it? God said, I will restore. He's going to restore it. So what was the first one was what? Martin Luther. Now remember, even in the Future Home, which was preached in 64, he never did away, because there's a doctrine in the message that said, you know, after the seals broke, Brother Branham did away with that old way of getting born again. And I know that Brother Branham, and I'll read it to you in a few minutes, where he said that she's to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Well, that new birth according to Malachi 4 is going to take us in a body change. Come on, brothers and sisters. It's going to take us into a body change. It's not just going to change our attitude here and head us toward God. It's going to literally change our bodies right here on this earth.
Amen.
So Luther was justification. Wesley was sanctification. But he gets on the Future Home and he says the earth goes through the same process. About the first 14 pages of the Future Home is nothing but telling you how to get justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right, yeah.
Just like the fire of God burning the earth is going to burn you inside.
Amen.
Right? So he didn't get away from it. He just says there's more of it. There's more to be had than just getting born again. Listen, that's our mandate. And not to come out of God and go into something different. It's to come out just from just being living a normal Christian life into being what? God made manifest on the earth. In the form of a bride. And then we become the Word as we receive the Word. That's why the Word's so important. Justification is important. Sanctification is important. The Holy Ghost is important. Most important thing you ever have in your life.
Amen.
Is to receive the new birth.
Yes.
But don't stop there. Listen, that's why it's called a pull. That thing's pulling you up into that number three. It's pulling you out of number two into number three. And then that number three is going to change your body. And you're going to become the Word made manifest on earth. So now Brother Brown tells us here in Masterpiece, 1964. He says, the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself. Now, being a scholar, you'd look at that and go, this man don't even believe in a Trinity. How's he believing in a Holy Ghost and in another Holy Ghost? But the baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down what? Here's the point. Into perfection. Amen. There were many people born again in those denominations that were not to the perfection they should be. Because they come as a Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They were Trinitarians. That's hard to understand. That those people under that justification, sanctification, Lutheran, Wesleyan, even Pentecost, they could be Trinitarians and be born again. It's hard to see, but you got to see the progression of God. That he progressed through that into the perfection. Before 1963, Brother Branham would preach that the mighty God was revelations, was the white horse. Come on. But now when he come to that transition from 63, and when that book opened up to him, he didn't preach that no more. And he was gracious enough to tell us when he made an error. You don't have to tell Brother Branham he was wrong. He told us he was wrong. I know that hurts people's feelings, but go back to the read the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal. Every time he says, right, it's the very first, he said, number one, I'd have made a horrible mistake. Number two, I don't know what number two is. Number two, it came to me this morning. And then he come up to one, either number four or five. He said, I didn't know. He said, the angel just came and gave it to me. So the angel didn't. Brother Bobby, I was studying for hours during the week. Brother Branham had studied his old notes and brought his old notes and laid his old notes down. And the angel comes in and goes, you can't use them no more. This is what you got to do. And you only got 30 minutes before service starts. Thank God for a prophet. Listen, he knew his word. He knew his word. Knowing his word, he knew where he could find it, and he knew where it would straighten itself out. Now, the word was not straightened out. He was being straightened out. All right. So then the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes way for the Holy Ghost itself to come down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. And Brother Bram tells us he's got to have something to work with. What? We need something to work with. Before the Holy Ghost can ever go to work, he's got to have something to work with. Amen. I put this in here for Lily and Zach. Praise the Lord. So we started on the partial to perfect. We talked about the word transition. It's a change from one thing to the next, either an action or state of being. Now, remember, the butterfly was already in the caterpillar. The caterpillar didn't have to reach and get something and put it in itself, another part of a bug, and stick it to itself. The butterfly was already in there. What did he have to do? He had to go through the metamorphosis of what? Eating. If a caterpillar didn't eat, the caterpillar died and the butterfly never came out. But the caterpillar literally ate itself to death. Some of us tried that. So the caterpillar, all he done was eat, and he manifested what was inside of him. You and I today, we manifest what we're feeding on. You can't do any different. You will manifest what you're feeding on. Because the butterfly's in there. It just wants to get out. But it's got to go through what? It's got to go through stages. Because when you start with that caterpillar, and God forbid if you ever mashed a caterpillar, it didn't just open up and there's a butterfly. Right? It was just guts and green. Right? But inside of that is the butterfly. With all the beautiful colors and all the wings and all that. It's in there. You just got to let it grow. You got to let it mature and you die. Boy, that's a pretty good one. He's got to let it mature and you die because the caterpillar metamorphoses into that butterfly. Or transitions into what? That caterpillar's whole life was to be a butterfly, not to stay a caterpillar. Right. that caterpillar's whole life. Your whole life, even as you start as a Christian, your whole life is to get you to this point right here. Birth pains, 1965. And the message is to bring back the word. All right, so what's the message to do? Bring back the word. Bring the people back to the word. Birth is to be, she's to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. That new birth according to Malachi 4 is going to do what? Two things. It's going to what? Restore us back and then change our body. No one's ever been required that. Luther wasn't, that wasn't even in Luther's, it wasn't even in his playbook. It wasn't in Wesley's. It wasn't in Pentecost. Everybody with me? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mysteries will be finished. Token, 1964. No other time could this message ever come forth till now. The message could not be till now. The world wasn't in the condition as until it's in now. This is the hour that Jesus could appear at any time, and that was 1964. How many years ago was that? Yeah, that's 60 years exactly this year that he preached that. Because we're in 2024. Wow. So now let's look at this real quick, and then we'll close because y'all are not going to make it to take communion. You'll be spilling drinks everywhere. I'm sorry. It's hard to look and see 20 of y'all asleep. Sorry. You just don't care. I'm sorry. How are you going to care when somebody's trying to preach the word of God and you're not even trying? Fight it. Fight the thing. Fight that devil. I have to fight him during the week. You fight him today, would you, if you don't mind? So in the Laodicean church age, now this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. So here's my notes. He's calling a people out of creeds and denominations. So that first part is bringing them out. Because remember, the seals are still sealed during the time of that. Right? So Revelation 5. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, as we go through this, Brother Ram calls this the most sublime scripture in the Bible because it shows redemption. But now remember, this redemption, and hang on a minute before you go off thinking something else, this redemption comes under a sealed book. Now, some of you didn't say amen, but you know, understood what I said. This book is sealed. All right? Then we're going to see somebody take this sealed book and finish redemption. Man, right? Take the book. Then that person is going to open the book and explain it to us. So what are you saying, Brother Wade? You don't have to be born again. You don't have to be... You can be born again and not understand the seals. That's pretty much. Redemption's redemption.
Amen.
All right? Redemption's redemption. That's why I said before, we got to quit judging people. You're going to judge yourself. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't study, if you don't go to church, that's your deal, not mine.
Amen.
And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals? What was this whole scene looking for? There was no man that was in heaven, that was on earth, dead, or anywhere, was able to open this book, neither to look on it. And I wept much. He cried because no man was worthy to open and read the book. Now listen, it's not only just to open the book. You got to read it. There's something in there written that you got to understand. You couldn't understand it with it closed. I'm sorry, we could not. But when it opens, it's not just, well, we're done. No, you're just getting started.
Amen.
On your full redemption, you're just getting started on your full redemption. Listen, I want to be fully redeemed. I don't want to have to look at death.
Amen.
I don't want to have to face it. I don't think any of you sitting here is like, well, glory to God. I know we say if we die, we're good. And that's okay. But there's somebody going to fulfill that scripture that says we which are alive and remain. Somebody's going to do it. So somebody's going to have the guts. And it's going to be God's guts, not yours.
Amen.
You didn't know God had guts? He was a human. God had guts. He had the guts to come down here and die for you. Do we have the guts to live it? One of the elders said, John, don't cry. There's a lion coming. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. Now remember that. That's a prophecy though. Right? He has not physically took the book yet. But that's a prophecy. For one of the elders says, weep not, John, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which is what? We had to have seven church ages. We had to have seven spirits of God on seven different people to bring us a message to put it all together. And then we can look back and see that. Luther, what was Paul looking at? Paul was just looking at the Old Testament and what happened at Pentecost and what happened in his message. He can't, sure, he could turn and look by prophecy, but he couldn't live it. Luther's the same way. Luther says, I see all this other things in the Bible. I'm putting this Bible together, but I know the just shall live by faith. I may not understand the rest of it, but I know this word so right that I'm going to give my life like Tyndale did, give his life to put this thing, or Wycliffe, one of them, to put this thing together and put it in English so that we can have a Bible.
Amen.
Stood a lamb as they had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 24 elders, four beasts, 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tongue, kindred tongue, people, and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, look, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now watch. To receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Now where did the blessing come? Where did Brother Branham's blessing come from? It come from the opening of the seals. That was the blessing that it came from. It came from the opening of those seven seals. Because he made all those comments. He knew something was coming. He knew something was coming. He knew something was coming. A new change in my ministry. He thought maybe it was the discernment of spirits. And then he comes up to a place. And then he comes up to like restoration of the bride tree and spoken words original seed. And he's like, God, in other words, he said one time, paraphrasing, he said, I got them out on a limb. What I do with these people now? What I do with them?
Right.
I got them right here. I thought I had them in the promised land. But the promised land he was promised was to step into the opening of the seals.
Amen.
And to bring it to a group of people, as we read several weeks ago, that was not even for the group of people he was preaching them to.
Amen.
It was for me and you.
Amen.
It's for you and I. Brother, this is the most sublime thing in Scripture. An act that not an angel, not nothing could do it. And the Lamb come and took it from the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. What is it? Now it belongs to the Lamb. See, now he can open the book and he can call the names of the ones that he went to Calvary for.
Right.
Now he comes to break the seals and release all the mysteries to them to the seventh angel, whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God lays in those seven seals. See, that's what he said here. All the mysteries lay in these seven seals. And the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. He becomes a lion, and when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights. God's held it. All right? God held it for 2,000 years. God held it for back in the Old Testament. But now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. Pope, priest, whatever it might be. They can't take the book. The seven seals hasn't been revealed. But when the mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth. And John the elder said, he's a lion, and he comes forth. All right? So he's bringing a group of people out of the denominational ideas and bringing them into a new birth. That maybe some of them had not ever been under before, because the Baptists, you know, shake my hand, turn around, tell everybody, hey, write your name on a book. Right?
Right.
If you don't believe that, you ask a Baptist. Say, where's your letter? He'll tell you where it's at, or she. And if she or he goes to another church, that letter goes with them.
Right.
I don't want but one letter to go with me. And that's this one right here. Yeah, I ain't worried about no letter that says I'm in good standing as a Baptist. So what did he do, though? He tore all that up, Brother Ram did. He tore all that up and told them, that's not it no more. Pentecostals, you can speak in tongues all you want to and die and go to hell. He said, but if you'll come in over here and go through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and listen to the Word of God as it's being preached. Listen to what the ministers are saying in this message. I'm talking about now.
Amen.
Listen to what they're saying now. Because remember, Brother Brown, everything he said, he was prophesying of a group of people coming. Those people weren't there. They were coming. Because it's in the days of the voice, not in the days that the man standing there, in the days of the voice. So here's the second part. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelations 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. So what do we call? Our call is to come to adoption, our fully matured Christians. All right? Understand the Word of God. Understand the mind of God. Remember, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Our own mind will, as I was telling him Friday night, we were talking about love. You can love all you want to. And if it's not the love of God, it's filial love.
Amen.
It's conditional. Filial love is conditional. That's our problem as human beings. We can't, in our own nature, love unconditionally. Well, I'll say amen anyway.
Amen.
You think about it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Bob, he takes me out every time, and he put gas in my car, and I love Bob. Now, Danny, he just said ride a bicycle. Do whatever you can. Get out.
Right.
All right. Fend it. Get her any way you can. I'll get you a sandwich if you need one, but I ain't taking you to Ruth Chris. We were talking about that the other day. For those of you that don't know what that is, don't worry about it. Well, no, some of us won't know what it is either. It's like a $150 a plate steak, so it ain't one worth it. Ever. But then in my humanity, in my spirit realm, I love Bob more than I love Danny. Oh, come on. Y'all just look at me like, oh, no, every one of you same way. You give something expecting something back. That's wrong. That's not Christian at all. You give and forget it. You love and forget it. Well, Brother Donnie didn't shake my hand. That's all right. He might have had something wrong with his hand. I love him anyway. He said he was having a little problem with sickness today, so you might not want to shake his hand today, but he's over it now, so you can shake his hand. But all that's conditional because it runs around in that spirit realm. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. All that stuff that the devil can play with. But that agape love is what God had for me and you. Unconditional love. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we as Christians are supposed to produce.
Right.
Is unconditional love.
Right.
Listen, I love my daughter unconditionally. Well, no, now, if she start coming to church, I'd love her. You're wrong. You're wrong. You got to love her unconditionally first. Love them first. Well, she's a, well, she don't. Hey, wait a minute. You did and you don't. Huh? Come on, somebody. You did the same thing. I don't care if, you know, you might have one over here and you say, well, this one was this and this one was this. If you're a sinner, you're just a sinner anyway. Remember, there's only one sin. That's unbelief. All right? So, Sister Ruth says, well, now, if Robbie would, Robbie in himself never going to do it. Wade Dale in himself is never going to do it. But when the love of God goes into that heart and it makes you love, don't make you, you do love. But it does make you, that's why they call it a nature change. Our nature is, sure enough. I, Brother Michael, I just love him because he, see, there you go. I love him because he, I thought it was that I loved him because he first loved me. You know what Jesus said? We love him because he first loved us. Unconditional. So today we sit under an unconditional covenant. Amen? That we need to love everybody. The sermon Friday was, the theme was, a new commandment I give you. Jesus told me, he come up to a place, he said, I'm giving you something new. You've heard of old, love your neighbor, I mean, love yourself and love your family and hate your neighbor. Or hate your enemy. I read it here. Love your enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you. That's going to get us more toward the kingdom of heaven than anything will. When we start hating everything, we need to hate the world and what condition we're in. But stop hating people. That's our problem. That's why we're growing old and we may not make it through the world. I'm talking about me too. I told him Friday, I said, my... There's not going to be a New Year's resolution from this old boy, but I'm going to make a pledge to try to love more than I've ever loved in my life. Amen. Lay down all malice, all strife. Don't get mad. I mean, listen. I'm going to get off of it in a minute. We still have a problem with people running us, cutting us off in the road. Or driving too close to our bumper. Or have I hit anybody yet? Well, most of you sinners that are lying... you've had something about a car. It just brings the demon out in all of us. Hello? I thought Jesus told us to pray for those people. So that, I, and to tell my story is I've changed my attitude on that because I did have a problem with people getting in my space with a car. So they come up on my bumper just as soon as I preached that Friday, Saturday morning, guy come right up on my bumper. I'm not kidding y'all. I went to work Saturday morning. I preached that Friday night. I went to work Saturday morning, pulled out. You know where my driveway is. I pulled out on Highway 52, and you can see a half a mile back that way. Nobody's coming. I get about over the top of the hill, and here's this SUV. I mean, I couldn't even see his headlights. He was that close. And boys, that thing started going... Let's slam on our brakes and see how, Julie, bless you, sister. She's the only honest one in here, me and you. That thing started coming up about right here, and I put my foot on the brake. And I said, no. He probably wants to get somewhere faster than I do. But I continued the speed limit into the city, turned the blinker on, you know, and went on, and that person went on. I said, Lord, bless them, whatever the problem is. I mean, can we do that instead of doing this and wondering what we can do to get back at them? Jesus said we get closer to the kingdom if we do all these. You'll be my disciples if the Bible says if you have love one for another. All right, now let's get back to preaching a little bit. Then we'll be done. Why, Aaron, you don't like that? You want me to get back to preaching then? Oh, you said amen. Okay. Revelation 10. Now, here's the second part, and then we'll close. Excuse me. Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now, here's another situation. Over here in Revelation 5, you had one sitting on the throne. Amen?
Right.
One sitting on the throne with a book. Right? You have the Lamb taking the book, and Brother Brown tells us that he's the same person, it's just a different way of looking at it.
Right?
Remember, there's only one God. So he takes the book and turns and sits down on the throne, right? And then it takes to Revelations 6-8 to open the seals. Okay? Then you go to Revelations 10. Now, what Revelations 10 does, to me, it explains everything of the second part of Brother Branham's ministry. That's why Brother Branham said, according to Malachi 4 and Revelations 10:7, he always put them two together. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now, we know who that is. I don't have to tell you. That's Christ. Himself. Not sending another angel. He said he's coming himself. Clothed with a cloud, rainbow upon his head. His face was as it were the sun, feet pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. Somewhere there was a transfer when he come off of there. And he opened that book and he's getting ready to reveal the seals to somebody.
Right. Amen.
Right? And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. In other words, he's taking possession of this earth. This earth. What does sea mean? Waters means what? People. And the earth is me and you. He cried with a loud voice as when the lion roareth and when he had cried. Now listen, he had to say something. He cried with a loud voice. Seven thunders uttered their voices. It couldn't be anything different than what the Lamb said. It can't be anything different than what God had in the book. It just wasn't written. Everybody with me? Because we know the thunders is not that there's seven men and that you can live any way you want to. And if you've got this real secret that nobody else knows, you heard it and nobody else did. We know it was the true revelation of all the seals. That's the thunder. It's when that seal opened. Some heard it go boom. Some people in the congregation hears it go boom. Others hear God speaking to them. Or others hear the devil speaking to them. You got to decipher which one it is. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. So in other words, John was told to write down what he saw, right?
Right.
Not interpolate or give his own revelation. Write down what he saw. So he was getting to write that. He's getting ready to write this down, and he said, "No, don't write it down. Don't write it down, because it's going to be held till that seventh angel comes, and at the sounding of his message. In other words, the people will be able to understand." The people will be able to understand. Because what was this scene for, folks? It was for me and you.
Amen.
This scene right here was for us. We know Revelation 5 was redemption. That was you coming under the blood of Jesus and getting born again and coming to church and reading your Bible and doing the things that you're supposed to do. But that's not all. We had to come to Revelation 10 to know that Christ comes.
Right.
There's a voice that speaks out. Then there's an angel on the earth at the sounding of these seals. We'll read that in a minute.
Right.
And who does he give it to? He gives it to John.
Right.
We said this last Wednesday. Remember, the book wasn't taken from the seventh angel. The book was taken from the mighty angel.
Right.
Not belittling Brother Branham at all, but remember, he was the one that God knew he could use and not have to worry about it. With me, he'd have had to worry about it. With you, he'd have had to worry about it. There was one man, William Branham, that he wasn't going to worry about him not delivering the entire Bible to the people. Or he would have picked somebody else. Remember, God's perfect. I don't know if you know that or not. But. And the angel I saw stood on the sea and the earth, and lifted up his hands to heaven. And swear by him that liveth forever, who created earth and the things that therein, and the earth, the things that therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. Now, the voice from heaven. Voice from heaven. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Now, that's not the seventh angel.
Right.
Come on, the seventh angel wasn't standing on the sea and the earth.
Right.
This is the mighty angel.
Amen.
Listen, to make it real simple, when Brother Branham stood in that week of the seals, all he was a conduit.
Right.
He was a conduit that had, that conduit had his own idea back over here.
That's right.
But not here. He had come to a place where God said, I'm ready, you're ready. The people may not be ready, but you're ready. I'm going to sound this message through this person, and somebody's going to hear it. All right? And I, John, the bride, went unto the angel. Listen, there's no... Jesus stood one day and he said, beware of false Christ. He said, they say Christ is over here. He said, don't go, because he's not over there. They'll tell you to go over here. That's Brother Brown's message. He told us where Christ was. He told us that he was the mystery of God revealed. But he told us he would be inside of me and you.
Amen.
He's not over there in the falsity of the message or falsity of the world. And I went into the angel and said, give me the little book. And he said, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I, John the bride, took the little book out of the angel's hand, the mighty angel that came down, standing on one foot on land, one foot on sea, and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Somebody said one time, it's sweet when you're sitting here. It's really bitter when you've got to live it.
Right.
Oh, it's sweet today for all you look around and go, oh, man, amen, yeah, shake hand, God bless you. You good? Yeah, I'm good. Everything's fine. Then you go out there and, you know, you got cigarettes and you got beard and you got all the cussing and all that stuff. It's bitter when you got to hold your, you got to hold it. You got to hold your testimony, folks. That's what God's looking for. Holding your testimony in the good and in the bad. The good and the, don't lose your testimony out there. Because you know what? You're going to know it, but somebody around you is going to know it. And that ruins your testimony. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I eat it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, stay home and listen to tape. Then what says that? Okay. And he said unto me, all right, who? The mighty angels telling John, telling the bride, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, congregations, nations. We're going to nation. Bob's been, I've been, Brother Aaron's been. Brother Luis is half there and half here most of the time.
Amen.
And tongues and kings. So that's our mandate, is to prophesy to these people. What? The message of the voice of the seventh angel.
Amen.
When he shall begin to sound the mysteries of God. Should be finished. Let me read this and then we'll close. Get ready for communion. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that through these church ages have been probed at will be wound up together. Period. Picking up another thought. And when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this coming. All right? Everybody all right? Because that's who Christ came to. He came to the conduit. He came to the prophet. But that prophet didn't hold it in the days of the voice. So the voice rang out. Right here. We'll close. Get ready for communion. Now watch close. This is something you must get.
Amen.
All right? Now, he had been doing his mediatorial work, making intercession for the believer. For 2,000 years, he had been back there a lamb. Now, what was 2,000 years? Church ages.
Right. All right?
Now, he's stepping forth from eternity to take the title-deeded book and to break the seals and reveal the mysteries. When of it? At the end time. Do you get it? All right, we'll go on then. Now, break the seals and release all the mysteries to the seventh angel, whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. To who? The people.
Amen.
Me and you. Listen, he could have preached 10,000 services.
Right.
And if nobody had been there to listen to him, God don't do that.
Nope.
God started that recording. Listen, there was a war started in 1940. Everybody with me? Up until then, there was not such thing much called radio or being able to record. Everybody with me? But during the war, they needed somewhere to record what they were saying or record and send messages. Instead of trying to write it down and put it on the leg of a pigeon and send it off into the battlefield, they were developing radios where they could talk to each other. Where Brother Brown comes up in 1947, he said they got this new device. That new device was to help me and you.
Amen.
That new device had my name written on it.
Amen.
That new device had your name written on it. Because you'd have never heard it if you hadn't had that device.
Right.
The mysteries of God lays in those seven seals. That's what he said here. All the mysteries lays in those seals. And the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. He becomes a lion. And when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights. God held it, the mystery, but now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. No pope, priest, whatever it be, they can't take the book. The seven seals hasn't been revealed. But when the mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth. And the reason I put that in there twice is I want to make another point. Now, redemption wasn't over when the seals broke. It was a prophecy saying that now that the seals broke, redemption can be over. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Redemption can be over now. Every name in that book is going to be called. And when that last name is called, the book's going to close.
Amen.
His work is over. Listen, folks, he's still sitting on the throne, or I wouldn't be preaching.
Right.
He's still sitting on the throne, or none of you would be. You didn't even need to come to church.
Amen.
He's still on the throne.
Right.
He's still a mediator. He's calling the names every service. Somewhere around the world, he's calling a name, and somebody's coming to the Lord.
Amen.
Not just right here in this little bubble that we got, all around the world. Somewhere today, I believe, in this whole world, somebody's going to get born again for the first time. Get born again. Maybe been sitting in a message church for years and years and years. But they're going to get born again today. You know what? God's still reading the book. Right out of the minister's mouth, he's reading that book to those people and saying, your name's in that book. Your name's in that book. Your name's in that book. Your name. God thought enough of you to put your name in a book of eternal life.
Right.
Wow. That'll make you happy.
Amen.
We'll just stop right there. We'll finish up. We'll start back a little bit later on. Let's stand to our feet. Remember, Brother Landland will be here Wednesday. And then Brother Vernon will be here next Sunday. And then we'll come back to church. And then we'll be getting out of here to go to Honduras for a week. But just keep us in prayer. So... Let's sing Only Believe just for a second. If anybody needs anything before we start our communion, let's just sing it one time. Only believe. Only believe. All things. are possible. Only believe. To Heavenly Father, these cloths, Lord, our brother knows where they're going to go, and he knows, Lord, what they're there for. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that whatever's on our brother's heart, Lord, wherever these need to go, Lord, that you'll be vindicated, Lord, and that you'll, whatever our brother asked, that, Lord, you'll give it to him, Father, according to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. To Heavenly Father, Lord, this is going to be, Lord, taken to our precious sister Cindy, Lord. I pray that this, as it's placed on her body, Lord, that it'll manifest itself in the healing power of our sister, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here all things are possible. Jesus is here. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible if you'll only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Amen. God bless you. Let's start with our communion. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it. In remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's why we're taking the communion. That's why we do it every month. We're showing that God died for us. He took away our sins. And we're commemorating that with taking of the communion. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You should know why you take communion. Okay? For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Praise God for that. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a moment of silent prayer before we begin. Bless us, Lord, furthermore this service. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Heavenly Father, this bread, Lord, has been made the way it's supposed to be with holy hands. Father, it's not been processed or it's not going to be even held over, Lord. I pray that you'd just sanctify it, Lord, to each one. And Lord, may we, as we partake of this, Lord, we know that you died for our sins, Father. And the blessing has now come upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about what the Lord's going to do. We're going to take communion. He's going to be the one that gives it to us. Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, this wine Lord, it was made, Father, Lord, that it wouldn't go sour, Lord. It just keeps getting better and better, Lord. Just like your word, Father, it never becomes sour to a real Christian. Lord, it becomes sweet, Lord, and something that we can use to sustain our life, Father. I pray now that as we take this, Lord, that we'll remember that your body and your blood was spilled for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I will carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. Not going to be easy. And I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. But come morning, there's glory for me. Hang on. Hang on. How peaceful that song is. But you're not going to be at peace until you find God. Never in your life will you be at peace until you find God. Your life will be troubled, mixed up. You'll blame everybody but yourself. You're the only one that's going to stand at judgment if you miss this thing. You're the only one. You're not standing as a group. You're standing as an individual. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, right there is where you turn me down. He's going to tell Judas. He's going to say, Judas, you had an opportunity, but right there is where you turn me down. Right there is where you sold yourself out. You could have been one of my 12. Wow. How close to God was he? He was right there with the Lord. Walked with him, talked with him, preached with him. That's why I'm watching that series on The Chosen. You look at Judas and you thought, man, he's an innocent-looking guy at first, but now you see how the devil's working and working his way into the money, into the finance, working his way into every time Jesus was, man, he would come up to the Romans, and Judas just wanted him to just zap them out of existence, just get rid of these people. You come said you was going to take over. You can feel that growing in his heart, that anger against Jesus, that he's not doing what Judas wants him to do. Amen. Not what God's wanting to do, is what Judas is wanting Jesus to do. And Jesus didn't come to do that. Where did Cain fail? Cain failed on a revelation. Brother Branham said, Abel got a revelation. Cain was given that opportunity to get that revelation. Turned it down. Judas turned it down. He turned that revelation down to what? For money, popularity, whatever it was. It's going to be so close. Let's take. Thank Lord. Let's read our scripture. John 13. Supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he'd come from God and he went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment. I'd like to have been there and been a disciple wondering, what is this man going to do next? He told us he was going to die. He told us he was coming back. He told us this. He told us that. He's going to tell us this great revelation. I know he is. He bows down and washes their feet.
Amen.
The most humble thing you could do. This great man they thought he was, and he was, but he humbled himself to wash all their feet. He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto me, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Don't ever tell Jesus never. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. And even all that, they still didn't think it was Judas. After all that, they were deceived. They didn't even know it was Judas that was doing it. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had together, Lord, to be able to speak about you. Father, I pray that the words would not return void, but they would accomplish what was set out to do, Lord. That we need to grow up some more, Lord. We need to get higher up in you, Father. And Lord, just doing that, there's blessings to come along with it, Lord. And Lord, may we receive those blessings, Lord. Those things that are hidden from the world that are revealed now to young Christians and even old Christians alike, Father. I pray now that you'd be with us as we continue on, Lord. Here we come up to this season. Everything's going to be busy and hustle and bustle. And Lord, I pray that we'll never forget you. Never forget what you've done at Calvary for us, Lord. And it will always give you the praise and honor and glory. Heal the sick, Father. Touch the ones that are downtrodden, Lord. Be with the ones that are not here today, Lord, for many different reasons. I pray that you'd touch them, Father. Lord, just be with us now in the furtherment of this service, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Sisters, go downstairs.